Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Thursday, March 27th, 2014. I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, and actually around the world because this radio show is broadcast via the internet. Every place anybody gets internet, and you can listen to all the shows in the archives 24/7, as well as live shows like right now, Monday through Friday at 12 noon Eastern. Today, my guest is Larry Pleasant. He's the founder of Vermont Soap, but he's here today not to talk about soap, but instead he's here to talk about his new book called The Reactive Body Handbook. Now, this is actually a free book. You can go to the website and you can download it immediately for free. So everything that we're going to be talking about today, you can go get this book for free and see what he has to say about this. You could go to, it's actually a brand new book. I think that it just was posted this morning or yesterday. And you can go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and look for the How to Live with a Reactive Body listing of today's show. And in that paragraph, there's a link to the Reactive Body Handbook. Just click there, and you can get your free copy. Hi, Larry.
Deborah. Great. Thanks for having me on again.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here. This is a subject that I'm very interested in, and I know it'll be valuable to a lot of people. So you started your business, Vermont Soap, because you have a reactive body, and you needed to have some soap that you could use yourself, right?
Absolutely. And, well, soap and every other product.
Every other product, yeah.
So I figured I had the ideal, I was the ideal guinea pig, if you will.
Yes. Yes.
So I said, well, I tell people, well, I formulate for myself, and so if I have extraordinarily sensitive skin, so I said, if it can get past me, you're most of the way there. And then I have some other people who are also part of our initial testing of new products, and their skin sensitivities go in different directions than mine, so we can get a good picture of how sensitive skin people will handle.
Well, tell us, what is your definition of reactive body?
Oh, boy, I'm so glad you asked.
Hey, I know, you were just waiting for me to say that.
From the book? Can I read right from the book?
Sure.
Or is that cheating?
No, you can read from the book.
Oh, you see, now that I'm a published author, even if it's a free book, I can quote from my book.
Yes, you
okay,
can.
So we have a chapter here called, What is a Reactive Body? So I'll just start right in. You know the old practice of bringing canaries down into coal mines? Coal mining especially, can release large amounts of natural gas, methane, and methane displaces the air we breathe. Without necessary amounts of oxygen from that air, humans are toast in a matter of minutes. The canaries were brought down to sing as the miners worked, and they were more sensitive to the drop in oxygen level than humans are. They would be the first to suffer from lack of oxygen, and they'd stop singing. And this gave the miners a couple of minutes' notice to get the heck out of Dodge and possibly save their coal mining lives.
Right.
Now, reactive body people are like those sleeping canaries.
Yes.
We notice molecules before other people do. And reactive bodies feel and perceive the world more intensely than most. We feel and perceive the world more intensely than most. So if you're a reactive body person, if you've ever suspected that you indeed feel the world more intensely than most people around you, you're correct. It's not narcissism. This hyped-up sensitivity increases the risk of becoming overstimulated. Okay? When you become overstimulated, you become exhausted. You wear yourself out. And then we become short-tempered with those we love. You hear that? Reactive bodies are easily overstimulated because they feel the world more intensely. A reactive body is not a psychosomatic illness, as some people and even many professionals believe. And as I like to say, if they had a reactive body, they would not talk so foolishly. Now, let's keep it real simple. Deborah, you've heard me say it. I see it this way, that having a reactive body is kind of like having body asthma. Think of it, body asthma. Now, asthma, by definition, is a pulmonary, a lung condition. It's characterized by inflammation of the bronchial lining. But a reactive body is essentially a body in which every part and system has the potential for inflammation and hypersensitivity. Now, when something molecular, and this is a molecule-based way of looking at things, so when something molecular triggers you, you might, if you're worn down now, you might experience a flare-up, okay? Now, the symptoms of a flare-up may or may not include histamine-based reactions, like true allergies, runny nose, red itchy eyes, etc. Hypersensitivity to aromas is very common, but you also, it affects people emotionally. There'll be a possibility of mood swings. You know, suddenly you're feeling claustrophobic or something. Mood swings, bipolar behaviors will come out, anxiety and panic. If you can't breathe, you start to have anxiety and panic.
Uh-huh.
And general hypersensitivity to anything that might pose a threat to your metabolic well-being and balance. Now, the flare-up eventually subsides, but the hypersensitivity may linger on for days, and some people I've talked to even weeks. That's after a flare-up, an episodic flare-up. And you can just feel your hypersensitivity go up. And now after a flare-up, you're left feeling spent, emotionally wrung out. Now, I believe that reactive bodies are following a normal human mechanism. I think this is a normal thing, a little
yes,
out of
is.
Control.
I agree.
It's normal. For example, and I know you and I have talked about this, but when we all know somebody who's drunk too much of some alcohol, right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, tequila, they go, oh, don't even say the word, I feel nauseous, right? So one night they had a big night out, they got very sick, and now their body can't even stand the smell of the stuff, right? And
uh-huh.
I've known people to get nauseous just from talking about it. You know, I say, wow, I had a sip of some amazing tequila, and they start grabbing their belly. This is, in fact, the same principle as a reactive body response. And as I like to say, it's your body's way of saying, so your body's trying to, the basic premise of this book is your body is trying to talk to you, but we're distracted and we don't get all the messages. And
well,
so,
I agree with that because yeah. our bodies know when there's something wrong. And in all the research that I've done about toxic everything, in the world of toxicity, it's like the symptoms are signals to you.
That's right.
It's like the body is saying, wait, it's like I've never smoked cigarettes or anything else, but I know from watching other people that like the first time you smoke a cigarette, you cough and your body doesn't like it. And you have to keep smoking and smoking and smoking so that you can smoke without apparently having symptoms. And then you smoke too much and then you've got emphysema and cancer and all those things. But the point being that your body will tell you almost immediately when you like smoking a cigarette for the first time, when you are exposing it to something it doesn't like. But what happens is that we get exposed to some toxic chemical or some food or something, and then we don't pay attention to the symptoms and the signals, and then we eat it or smoke it or whatever again. And then we stop paying attention. And we're exposed to so many things that are causing these symptoms that we can't distinguish them even. But our body is just getting worse and worse and worse until eventually there's some kind of breakdown and that our bodies get overloaded.
You've got it. That is the essence and a good summary of my conclusion of 20 years of living in a reactive body.
When I used to work with people who were chemically sensitive, well, I mean, I still do as a consultant, but I used to work in a doctor's office, and we used to explain it by saying that it's like a water bottle or a rain barrel, that you can be exposed to all these things, and they keep building up and building up and building up, but it's that last drop, and you put in the last drop, and you start overflowing, and that's when you start being hypersensitive, was the word that you used.
And when you're filled up.
When you're filled up. And your body just can't take anymore. So we need to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk more about this. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Larry Pleasant. He's the founder of Vermont Soap, but he's also the author of The Reactive Body Handbook, which is what we're talking about today. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Larry Pleasant. He's the founder of Vermont Soap and author of The Reactive Body Handbook. And you can get a free copy of this instant download. Just go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com. Look for Larry's smiling face. He's the guy with the hat on. Just scroll down the page where it'll say how to live with a reactive body. You'll see Larry. And in the middle of that paragraph, you can just click on The Reactive Body Handbook and get your free copy. Larry, you have a statement in your book that I want to make sure that we say in big letters, like you did in the book.
In cap.
And that statement is, it's not that I am broken. This stuff is bad for me.
This stuff really is bad for me.
This stuff really is bad for you. And I want to just really emphasize this, because so many people with this condition, they think there's something wrong with them. Like, the environment is okay. There must be something wrong with me that I'm getting sick from
the environment. My friends are eating poison and breathing poison and driving in poisonous vehicles.
And they're all okay.
They
seem to be okay, but what's wrong with me?
I
want to make sure that everybody understands that if you're getting sick, you're normal. You're healthy. Your body is responding the way it's supposed to respond. What we need to do is have a less toxic world to live in. And we need to live in less toxic homes. We need to use less toxic products, like Larry's soap products and all the other products he makes, and all the products that I talk about on my website and all the products that my guests talk about. These are the things that will make us healthy. What's going on at the world at large is the things that are making us sick. And so let's just say that together again. It's
not that I am broken.
This stuff is really bad for me.
It's so true, and it's so liberating to say it. Yeah, you know, just say it out loud. Hear yourself say it. You're not broken. You're beaten up, but you're not broken.
But you're not broken. There's not something wrong with your body.
No, there
isn't. It's the world.
Now, your body is acting differently than other people's bodies,
right?
By and large, because reactive body people are still a very small percentage of the population. Although, increasingly, as people are overloaded with, we use the word toxic. You know, I'd like to define that a little more narrowly,
good.
If we could. Okay, let's
go
start
ahead.
With that.
Let's talk
now,
about
now,
that.
So I'd like to say that I'm a natural formulator. So I work with tens of thousands of molecules that are found in nature. They're all found in nature in these useful little bundles. Like vitamin C isn't found by itself. It's found in a bundle of bioflavonoids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how your body uses it, too. But as I say, human minds are restless minds. And because we can, we think that means we should. And we've gone ahead and we have synthesized, created hundreds of thousands of molecules and substances that never existed in nature before, or only for a few seconds before they were burned up or something. That's the end of it. And not only that, we've created these new molecules and we've blown them all over the soil, the food, the air, the water. Now, even natural things, think about, and this is something that maybe people don't think about that much. So, for example, metals, copper, lead, all the metals that we use to build our civilization, nickel. Now these are aluminum. These are always found bound up in ores. They're always tightly bound to other things
so that they're inert,
because nature seeks to be level, to be even, to be inert. And just as water seeks its own level, it's the same principle. So we come along and say we take some aluminum and we blast that aluminum ore with all kinds of electricity to blast out the so-called impurities, everything that's not aluminum. Now we have pure aluminum in our hands. Hasn't existed for 2.5 billion years on this planet. You know, even longer, since this planet was made. You know, so here we are, do we create something new? No, it's aluminum, it's an element, but is its natural state to be found that way?
This is the point, this is the whole point of industrialization. I'm glad that you're talking about this, is because what industry does is it takes all these raw materials and it purifies them. And so not only do we have pure aluminum, but we have pure sodium chloride instead of natural salt. and we have pure sugar instead of sugarcane, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And our bodies don't like those.
Exactly, because
it's not the way it is in nature.
Because we are designed, exactly, we're designed to use everything in a bundle. Too much pure sodium chloride is unhealthy for us. But sodium chloride found with all of the other trace minerals that are dissolved in seawater is extreme.
Yes.
And that's the point. And now we see a lot of nickel poisoning. As I've been researching the roots of Alzheimer's disease in people close to me, some of them have gotten that. And everything that I see points to metal. Uh-huh. Not just one kind, like not just aluminum, but all metal, possibly discounting iron, because it's taken up much differently. And uh-huh. I've talked to chemists who have said, you know, people are paranoid about aluminum and that it might lead to Alzheimer's. And he says, I'm not paranoid about aluminum. I says, you're not? He says, no. He says, no, when you look at its reactivity, how your body would deal with it. He says, I'm not really paranoid about aluminum. He says, you know what I'm paranoid about? I said, no. What? He said, nickel. I said, why is that? He says, your body needs a little bit of nickel. There's actually a requirement for it, nutritional requirement for nickel. There's no nutritional requirement for aluminum. So your body goes, oh, nickel, yeah, I know that stuff, good stuff. I got too much of it, let me store some for later. Where are we going to put this stuff anyway, body? Then you start to get into problems that way. Because we wouldn't normally uptake so much as much nickel as we do these days. We don't even know we're getting.
Well, we have, as you were talking about, taking the metals and things out of the ground and blasting them and then having them in their pure form. It's also, I think that there's a reason why nature has hidden some things underground, like petroleum and coal and metals and things like that, because they don't belong in these huge amounts on the surface where the plants and animals and humans can get to them.
Well, isn't that a very interesting point? All of nature did not evolve to live on puddles of petroleum.
No, it didn't.
To live on a very, very narrow band, which is only about an inch and a half deep on the soil, which is where most microorganisms, most life lives, such a narrow little piece of our world.
That's so interesting. We need to take another break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is Larry Pleasant, founder of Vermont Soap and author of The Reactive Body Handbook. You can go during this commercial break to toxicfreetalkradio.com and click on The Reactive Body Handbook, look for Larry wearing his hat, and get your own free copy. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Gadd, and my guest today is Larry Pleasant. He's the founder of Vermont Soap and also the author of The Reactive Body Handbook, a new book that has just been released. I think we're the first ones to hear about it. And you can go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and download it for free. Just scroll down the page till you see Larry with his hat on. And right next to it, it says Reactive Body Handbook. Click on that and you can get your free copy. So let's talk about, I know what I want to ask you next. Tell us how you discovered that you had a reactive body.
Oh, what a great question. How did I discover I have a reactive body? Nothing worked. I was broken.
It's broken.
I was broken. I had the worst depression of my life. It lasted 3 days, Deborah. It was terrible. And then I woke up on the fourth day, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I had this big, sad pus on my face. And I said, all right, enough of that. Quit feeling sorry.
I should tell you, all listeners, that I have talked a number of times with Larry, and I've met him in person, and he is always one of the most cheerful people that I've ever known.
Oh, bless you. You have to be. It's a choice.
You have to be.
It's a choice. And because, well, for one thing, having a reactive body, let me just say, just to kind of sidestep your question just for a minute, and then we'll get back to it, but okay. Having a reactive body means, once you recognize it, you take off the blinders, you go, okay, I got this reactive body. All right. It means that you're in training. In fact, I've used that line. People say, well, you know, what are you doing with that big pile of kale on your plate? Well, I'm in training. What are you in training for? And I look up, and I look very serious, I go, life, brother. Life. You know? and you have to have a sense of humor. First of all, you get a whole negative cascade of hormones when you're feeling down, and you get an all positive cascade of hormones when you're feeling up. So, you know, the cheapest way to live a long, healthy, happy life is to practice being positive. And by the way, what that means, in case you're wondering, it means that when it doesn't mean you don't get annoyed, you don't get upset, you don't get angry. It means you let it go as quick as you can.
You know, my grandmother used to say, she would tell me not to frown and not to get angry. Well, I mean, you're going to get angry. But the point is that people who are down all the time, she said, when you get upset, it's poison to your body.
Oh, she's
she actually
so right.
used that word. She said,
yeah.
Getting upset, getting angry, being negative is poison to your body. And it does release, as you said, negative hormones in your body that depress your body, your physical body.
Well, as a middle-aged male in business in America, I watch other middle-aged men around my age in business eating up their arteries with worry and stress.
Right.
You know, where are you going with this guy? You got to live every day. You know, there's not. You know, great. You're 70 years old. You sell your business. You cash out, and you're on. And you're walking wounded the rest of your life. You've eaten yourself up. That's not winning.
No, it isn't. And we also know that a lot of chemical exposures actually make you feel depressed, so it's more difficult.
Oh, that's
but,
so true.
I think for myself, I mean, I decide to be happy. I think it's very easy to just going around not being cheerful and
oh, it's
the world
a habit.
Is a bleak place. Yeah.
It's
so
a habit
I
to be cultivated.
Make me happy. Yeah,
it's absolutely, and I've talked to people who are generally happy people about this, and you know, I said, so you know, how did you arrive at this state? Were you born this way? And it was one woman said, you know, again, her grandmother taught her. She said, you wake up with a smile. Doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah,
just as easy to wake up with a smile on your face as a friend.
Absolutely, I totally agree. Okay, so tell us, how did you discover you had a reactive body?
Sure. Let's see. I couldn't use anything. Let's start with that. I guess for me, it was really about the soap. I mean, you know, I could put up with only washing my hair once a week or something like that, and you know, chronic strange scalp issues that I had, and all kinds of reactions. But it was when there was no soap left that I knew about that I could find that I could use. And for me, that kind of pushed me over the edge, in a way. So here's the kind of, I don't know if I told you this story last interview, I hope I didn't, but I was at a kind of country fair in Vermont, I think it was 1990 or 1991, and I found some goat's milk soap, I took it home, I used it, and this contact dermatitis I'd had for 8 years on my arms went away after by the third day. And I said, well, there's either something magic about goat's milk or there's something magic about farm soap, the process of making this kind of soap. And it turned out, as far as I can tell, there's nothing magic about goat's milk, but there's everything special about making handmade soap, which takes a month to make a bar. So I looked at it and I said, well, here's a craft item. It's hardly available in any stores back in 1990, 91. You can't find it anywhere. And I said, well, hey, I know. I'll be the guy who takes this handcrafted item, you know, perfects it, and starts making millions of bars so everybody who has sensitive skin can use it, because it's the process of making it is different than making other kinds of soap. Get a very, very mild bar. So I said, well, that's it. I'll make soap the rest of my life. That's great. And, you know, so after about 8 years into it, I felt that, you know, I'd taken it as far as I really could for what I was doing with bar soaps. And so I began formulating. My goal became and continues to be to replace every single item in your household with non-toxic, effective, and cost-effective products that you can buy factory direct. And that's what our mission is. We replace yucky stuff with yummy stuff.
Yeah, and you do a really good job with it, too.
Oh, I know you're a fan. Thank you so much. I appreciate that, sir. And we have a new completely I have to say completely unscented, but soap does have a mild soapy aroma. Can't get rid of that completely. We quadruple filter it and carbon filter. We do all kinds of things. Still smells a little bit like soap. So when I say unscented or scentless, That's what I mean.
I think that unscented, the general term of unscented means that there's no added scent. But I think that there are some people who think that unscented means that it has no smell at all. That you really can't get away from, this is an interesting, ironic thing, that if you make something out of natural ingredients, it's going to have its own scent from the ingredients, its own smell. The only way to get something that smells like absolutely nothing is to process it industrially. And so you have these products that smell like nothing that are made out of petroleum and crude oil. And then you have things that are natural that have their own smell.
Which is usually something nice.
It is usually something nice. I don't mind something that has a smell that's natural. I don't mind. I mean, I'm at this point in time, I'm able to use products with essential oils. I didn't used to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're healing.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to take another break. And you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest is Larry Pleasant. He's the founder of Vermont Soap and the author of The Reactive Body Handbook. You can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and click on the Reactive Body Handbook link and get your own free copy of this book. It's a good book to have. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Larry Pleasant, founder of Vermont Soap and author of The Reactive Body Handbook, which is free. You can download it instantaneously from his website. You can just go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and click on the Reactive Body Handbook link to do so. Larry, there's you mentioned so much information in this book. You talk about not only what is the reactive body, but the science behind the reactive body, what triggers flare-ups, and you also have a lot of suggestions on what you can do to make your body less reactive.
So let's talk about this. It's supposed to,
it really
supposed
is
to
a
walk
handbook.
Away with waste of pictures.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't just theoretical. This is really Larry's chronicle of his 20 years' experience living this way and what has worked for him. So tell us some of the things that have worked for you that made your body feel better.
Oh, great. Okay, so I'm just going to run quickly down through the list.
Good.
First of all, maximize nutrition. No empty calories. I mean, just no empty. You're in training here. You know, you have no, you know, there's no room in your training diet for empty calories. Okay, you are maximizing nutrition. And that's a systematic way of life it's an ongoing process of improvement. And so if you're just starting that journey, you can start by saying, you know what, I'm just going to cut out dessert. There's a really good thing. And I'm going to replace those calories with nutrition-packed calories. And, along the way, taking supplements like the good stuff that you have, Deborah, and there's a huge difference in supplements, as people will find, really makes a difference. So there, right there. General good advice any grandmother would have given you, fresh air and sunlight. Lots of fresh air.
I agree with everything you've said.
Of course. And water. Try to get the best water you can. And anybody who's spent any time around me knows that I'm I'm extremely against plastics in the food and water supply. There are no good plastics. You always ask me, what's the better plastic? Well, there are none. We can give you plastics that have less phthalates, and phthalates are basically Miracle-Gro for cancer cells. Or we can give you plastics that are off-gas, that don't off-gas phthalates, but they off-gas things like bisphenol A, which is causal.
It just destroys your endocrine system, and when your endocrine system goes, that's it.
Oh, yeah. Besides the fact that we're estrogenifying our population,
yes.
Which is
very,
very strange. It's a very strange thing.
Yeah.
So get the best water you can. And while we're on water, Deborah, I don't know if you've ever heard me say, we've had a couple of conversations that I don't travel well.
No, I've never heard you say that.
Oh, I don't travel well. So, and reactive body people do not travel well. Let's face it. You have strange foods, strange smells,
right.
Strange, you know, carpet preservers, you know, all kinds of weird things. The air fresheners, God help us. So, but I would go and I would go to conferences, you know, go down to New York City, for example, and I'd come back, I would be sick for 2 weeks. I go away, even for a couple of days, come back, and I started coming back covered with rashes all over my torso. Quite frankly, I thought I had Staph A. I thought I had MRSA. You know, wow. I came back from Africa, I was sick for months. And mm-hmm. and it turned out, one of the things wrong with me anyway, was that I'm highly reactive to chloramine.
Oh.
The new, it's not new, right. But it's new to most municipalities. A lot of municipalities are switching from chlorine or free chlorine to chloramine because it makes the water taste better. Now, if I take a shower in chloramine,
I think it's because I
break out.
It lasts longer as the water goes through the pipe. It has to travel for miles to get from where it's being delivered to your house. And so the chloramine actually lasts longer to continue to hold the disinfectant quality.
Yeah, it works better.
Chlorine and ammonia, it works better.
It works better. It also puts me in the hospital, almost put me in the hospital.
Well, it also kills all the fish in the aquarium.
And kills the fish in the aquarium. And if you brew beer with it, there's a poisonous reaction that occurs.
Yeah.
You can look that up on Wikipedia. But I went away to... Deborah, I'm at an organic farming conference, eating organic farm fresh food. Okay.
Yeah.
And I have a complete collapse. I have a flare up. My immune system collapses. My whole body breaks out in a pulsating red rash. Okay. And guess what? I was drinking the water and I was bathing it. And by the second day, I went from people were saying, "Hey, Larry, you look really healthy. You look strong. Yeah, have you been working out?" "No, I've been working in the woods." "Hey, that's great." "Okay." And to my neighbor came over and he said, "Look, I'm a trained EMT, and I'm making the call. I'm taking you to the emergency room."
Wow.
And I said, "No, the doctors can't help me." He said, "Do you need a glass of water?" I said, "No, that's probably what did it." And then I finally came to realize that, in fact, that it was the chloramine and the city. I'd been working in Monrovia, Liberia, doing some volunteer work last few years. And it turns out they disinfect their water lines with chloramine as well, which explained why I kept getting sick.
Yeah.
So get the best water you can and best of luck with it. But know what your water department's putting in your water. It may be stranger than you think.
That is really important. As long as you've brought this up, I'll just say that if you go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, I have a little ad over in the right-hand column that says the water filter I use in my home. And this really is the best water filter that I've found in 30 years. And I used to say to people, make sure that you test your water first and get the right water filter for your water. But this filter actually removes everything.
Yeah, my web guy bought your filter.
Oh, great.
Jackson, when we worked together at his home office, I drank copious amounts of water through your filter.
Oh, I love hearing that. Well, did you get one for yourself, Larry?
Well, fortunately, at home, I have, you know, we have our own well. And,
oh, great. Okay.
You know, I know everything that goes in that house.
But I'm glad
I built
you
that
like
house.
The water. I'm glad you like the water. Yeah, everybody that comes to my house and drinks it buys one.
Well, as Jackson said, it's the best water filter he's ever seen. And him and his wife... you know, have, especially his wife, have reactive bodies.
I'm so glad to hear this. Yeah, it really is.
I don't. They don't mind me. I just said, you know, a name. It doesn't indicate.
Yeah,
they
won't know who Jackson is.
But this is a wonderful, wonderful couple that has Lyme disease. They are battling Lyme using the exact same techniques and others that I use to keep my reactive body function.
Well, you know, a long time ago, when I was first struggling with this exact same thing myself, many years ago, and I started studying, well, I thought my logic was, if the industrial toxic world has made me sick, there must be some other alternate universe where things would make me well. And I started looking at all the different ways that I could, like all the things that you're talking about, how could I remove the toxic chemicals? How could I eat healthy and get good nutrition? And what I discovered was that if you really look to nature, if you really look at the basics of what supports life, there's a way to be healthy that applies, that is the antidote to any body condition, anything that's wrong with you. If you do this handful of things, you'll get better.
Well, you know, I can almost feel the audience saying, now come on, Deborah, what about cancer? I need to go and get radiation to cure cancer, right?
No, no. Actually, what you need to do is stop causing cancer.
Right.
And then your body will heal. And I really have researched this, and I've really looked at it. And so I decided that I was just going to live this way regardless. I wasn't going to wait to get sick. I mean, I was already, my immune system was already shot, but I rebuilt my immune system, and I'm in the process of rebuilding my endocrine system, and I can tell which body systems have been affected by my body. But the answer to everything is that you get the chemicals gone, eat organic food, you get nutrient-dense foods, exercise so that you can move things around in your body, you get good rest, you breathe clean air, you get some sunshine, and you'll be healthy.
Oh, everybody's grandparents who came over from the old country would be very happy to hear you saying that, because
it really is the answer, tried
and true advice. But it's getting harder and harder to get food that actually is nutritious, water that's actually safe to drink, and air that's actually safe to breathe.
That is exactly the problem, because you can choose. I mean, I could fill my house with your products, or we could all fill our houses with your products, but then we walk outside and the air is not fit to breathe. I was just reading something, and I think it's going in my newsletter next week, about the number one environmental problem is air pollution. It's all
now that there's radiation blowing around.
Yeah. That's right. And so not only do we need to we can't just go to some Garden of Eden spot on Earth that isn't polluted anymore. It doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we need to be doing is we need to be doing things that get the toxic chemicals out of our body that we can't avoid, because nobody
That's right.
I mean,
you have to continue. It's not just, you know, you do a big cleanse and then, you know, and I'm not telling people to over cleanse, over fast, or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But certainly, Deborah, you're exactly right. You have to get what's in you out. There are some really good methods for that.
I have to interrupt you though, Larry.
Oh, yes.
I hate to do this, but we're in a few seconds. The music's going to come on, and the show is going to be over.
You have to have me back on.
I will. But I want to say thank you for being with us. And Larry's book is The Reactive Body Handbook. You can go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and download it. And we'll talk again soon.